Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Joe Courtney. A very, very bright guy, sits there in one of the best places in America, on the Long Island Sound and throughout that beautiful 2nd District of Connecticut. So let me start with you on the Navy, which is perfectly appropriate. You just had success. The Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act was signed. What's that all about?
So it's actually an Agent Orange bill for Vietnam-era veterans who, as many of your listeners know, I mean, one of the unfortunate, terrible mistakes that the U.S. military did during that conflict is that they followed a strategy of defoliation, where they basically thought the best way to sort of find guerrilla fighters on the other side was just to basically destroy vegetation, and they used Agent Orange, which was a highly toxic chemical that was sprayed from planes, from trucks, mounted spray guns. The stuff was everywhere.
Killing our people, right? I mean, long term.
But at the time, everyone was told, don't worry, just wash it off. And
yeah, forget about
good.
It.
And the battle to get Agent Orange-related illnesses, which are, cancers, heart disease, respiratory diseases, has taken forever. And there was, when General Shinseki was the head of the VA under Obama, he issued an incredibly path-breaking, groundbreaking announcement that there would be presumptive eligibility for people who served in Vietnam and who had, these types of illnesses, and had a pretty long list, unfortunately. However, the sea services, Navy, Coast Guard, were excluded from that order unless they, quote-unquote, stepped foot on Vietnamese soil, which was a totally arbitrary, ridiculous restriction because it was the sea services that was, transporting this stuff, in big gallon drums or multi-gallon drums, and were handling the stuff. Were in some cases, tied up in ships right offshore, where the stuff was literally floating around in the water. The exposure by the sea services was clearly significant, if not, on par with the land forces in terms of their exposure to it. So anyway, there's been this battle that's been ongoing to get the sea services covered by this. It frankly took way too long, but we were able finally to punch through. Early in the Congress, we got the House to pass the bill quickly. Kudos to Speaker Pelosi for getting it called quick. And then, Mitch McConnell, who, as you know, has been doing nothing almost exclusively other than appointing judges.
Tell me about it.
But the hue and cry even penetrated his, mind and did the right thing and had the bill called up. And a week ago Monday, President Trump signed it into law, which frankly was a very private ceremony, very strange to me because I cannot tell you, having representing a military district, we have a Navy base in southeastern Connecticut, lots of Navy veterans in the area there. I mean, this is something that they have been just boiling mad about for years. And this was a real sort of, it was really about justice, in my opinion, as opposed to just, right, access to treatment. And, I've been on this bill as lead Democrat for a number of Congresses. And Mark Takano, who's the new chairman of the Veterans Committee, again, he took, pole position. I was right next to him, riding shotgun. Really excited to get this done.
Okay, let's go from there to a related subject, which is the National Defense Authorization Act.
Yep.
And that's up for a vote later this month. Is that important to Connecticut?
It is. I mean, there's obviously a big part of our economy is involved in, building engines, nuclear submarines, helicopters over in Sikorsky. And, I know some friends of mine on the Democratic side get a little nervous about the spending levels in this bill, but for most of those programs, it's about recapitalizing aging planes, copters, and boats, and we have a very good budget. I'm chairman now of the Sea Power and Projection Forces Subcommittee, so we write the shipbuilding plan, but we also do some of the aircraft programs as part of this, the Projection Forces jurisdiction that's there. But this bill actually does a number of other things. It cancels the authorization of use of force from 2002 and 2004, which, as you know, has been used to justify military intervention across the board in the Middle East. It creates an 8-month window for a new authorization of use of force to be enacted. And for critics of the endless wars over there. I mean, this is a big deal for us to put that in there. We restored the GI Bill educational benefit that Trump, a lot of people don't know this, actually capped the transferability of the GI Bill benefits to service member families after 16 years of service, which is an outrage. I mean, people who stay in longer than 16 years get cut off from being able to transfer. They get a one-time transfer to a family member. And we restored that in this bill. We're going to have some other really good, it's going to be the most progressive defense bill in memory. And Adam Smith, the chairman, has done a great job. And I think when we go back to Washington next week, we're going to be taking it up. And it's going to be a very lively debate because it involves issues of war and peace, like you and I have talked about in other shows, but also about fairness to people serving in our armed services.
Speaking of which, I want to make a transfer of subject to the upcoming Mueller testimony. He's going to testify. He said he didn't want to testify. He's going to testify. What difference is this going to make?
I mean, it's a huge difference because, I understand probably his, discomfort in terms of having to come in and rehash this, but he has to do it. I mean, A, he's a private citizen now, and his resistance to doing it was something that he knew, I think, was not going to fly, with a subpoena. And so, this report, 440 pages that he issued, which I've read cover to cover, but unfortunately a lot of Americans, they don't have that time or ability to sort of, plow through it. It needs to be flushed out publicly. And he's a super cautious guy, and I know he's, probably going to have to be kind of teased out in terms of the questions that are there, but I think it's a really important moment. And it's obviously there's a lot of folks who think that the obstruction of justice provisions should really send out a signal to Congress to look at impeachment. But there's frankly other issues that we have got to foot stomp publicly, which is number one, the interference in the 2016 election by the Russians, which this report nails, hard and strong, and confirms what all our intelligence agencies have told us, and by the way, are still telling us is going to be a problem in 2020. We passed the SAFE Act right before the break, the July 4th break, which is going to boost funding for election security. It's $600 million all across the country. When you think about it, there's 320 million Americans. That's $2 a person to make sure that we have a safe election. But we need to do stuff to harden the processes and the systems to make sure that Russian interference, which we know is still happening out there, and Mueller's testimony, as I said, will just sort of reinforce that point that, this was not a one-time event in terms of, the GRU, the Russian intelligence services, hacking and using social media to mislead. This stuff is still happening with all the bots and devices that they use. So that by itself, I think, is an important.
Do you think, I'm sorry for interrupting, but
think, that's right.
We're almost out of time, but do you think that Trump is, in fact, supporting this, at least implicitly?
Well, again, when he was asked the question with Putin sitting across from him, he made a joke of it.
Fitted around about it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, his own people at FBI, NSA, CIA are telling him, this guy is still at it, and he's not somebody that we should be up there yucking it up with.
So finally, you always have great concern about climate change.
Yep.
Are we making any progress?
Well, again, the budget bills that that the Democrats are passing in the House are restoring EPA funding with lots of policy initiatives aimed at. Again, getting us moving forward in terms of climate change. We did pass the measure in the House to have the U.S. Rejoin the climate treaty, the Paris Climate Treaty.
Yeah, but the Senate is having none of it.
I understand that full well, and I couldn't agree with you more.
No. It's terrible.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Awful.
And at some point we're setting the table for 2020 by showing that there is that people's voting in 2018 wasn't just a wasted effort, that it is actually moved the needle in terms of one chamber of the Congress. But we have to finish the job, and that's the one issue that screams out for action. And the sad thing is that we know there's good ways we can fix this and create jobs for people. In New London, we just rolled out this new wind turbine energy project that is going to produce as much energy as the Dominion Nuclear Power Plant in Waterford. Those are good building trades jobs, and we're going to reinvigorate the Port of New London.
We're out of time. I'm so sorry. My producer, Ian Pickus, is going to get after me, but I wanted to ask you one question which demands a yes or a no, or not at this time.
Yeah.
Impeachment.
Not at this time.
It's great to talk to our very good friend, Joe Courtney, a terrific guy and a very bright man. And thank you, Joe, for doing this with us. We always appreciate hearing your words.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Talk to you soon.